Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can comprehend.
Talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. On our show, it's the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns. Either we're going to stand up to something or we're going to fall for anything. We have some very interesting topics that we're going to talk about today. One of them is a very sensitive, both of them are sensitive topics because they pertain to things that are very sensitive, especially when it comes to serving God. also, too, we're going to talk about 21 young people over in South Africa. They were celebrating graduating from high school. Good morning, Kevin D. Galis. What's up, Kevin D., my brother? Dorsey in the house. the kids graduated from high school. They went to a little place where they were celebrating, and mysteriously all 21 of them died, and nobody knows why they died or how they died. And when I think about our young people and them dying in such large numbers these days, I'm just praying, please continue to pray for our young people. That's my prayer request to everybody that's listening to the show right now. Pray for our young people. They need a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer. And that's why one of our subject matter, we're going to have a very exclusive special guest is on the line right now. Our special guest today is Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry is our guest today, and we're going to have some, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but our first topic is why are youth between the ages of 14 to 35 dropping out of the church? Again, our first topic is why are our youth between the ages of 14 to 35 dropping out of the churches, and why aren't parents making it a requirement to serve God? I mean, when I was growing up, you had to serve God. Amen? You had to serve God. You had to get up and go to church. You had to praise God. But now we have a lot of young people that are just, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. And our second topic is going to be Roe versus Wade. What does the Supreme Court ruling recall mean? And what states can you not get an abortion? Okay, so we're going to be talking about that next after we talk about our first topic. But our first topic is a very sensitive topic because we have so many young people, and I've never seen so many young people doing witchcraft, witchery, becoming warlocks, and just certain things. I'm just like, wow. They're falling out of church by great numbers. A lot of our young people are not attending church these days. They're not going. You know, when I was young, your parents came and said, okay, get up, get ready for church. And I want you to know, you might not think that going to church is a civil rights issue, but it is, because it was a time, if you were black and you went to the church, you had to go all the way up in the back. What's up, Maurice Valentine, my brother, all the way out there in Tennessee. Shout out to Bully the Bull. You had to go all the way back in the pews and sit way, way, way back in the back upstairs. You couldn't sit down there with everybody else. We fought for the right to go to church. Good morning, my brother. We fought for the right to be able to go to church and praise God. I want to thank certain people who helped pave the way. Biddy Mason, who walked all the way from Mississippi all the way to Los Angeles, California, the first African-American woman to own property in downtown Los Angeles, the police headquarters and other buildings in downtown L.A. to this day are still owned by Biddy Mason and the Mason family, the Biddy Mason family. She actually was a doctor. She was a midwife who became a doctor. So know your history, because she opened up her own church, and that's where the AME church started. That's where the AME, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, look it up. Look it up. That's where it all started. So we're talking about some heavy topics this morning. I want to tell you this. this is going out to everybody who lives in the Los Angeles area. All the people who live in the Los Angeles area, I received, hey, Gloria Majors, good morning, Gloria Majors on Facebook Live. Good to hear you this morning. I got a text over the weekend, hey, good morning, Wanda Long, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you? I got a text over the weekend saying, hey, be careful driving through the Crenshaw area between the areas of Crenshaw and King, Crenshaw and Slauson, the Rodale Road, Obama Street, and all those areas in like Vernon Avenue in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. There is a gang riot going on between, this is what I heard in my text, the Bloods and the 20s and 40s. Okay? I don't understand why, and I'm going to talk about this. No gang member should be shooting another gang member if you're black. I mean, come on, can't we get over this? I mean, I get a text, so they're saying, mm-hmm. Be careful, don't stop at the streetlights, don't stop at the stop signs. Well, you got to follow the law. How are you going to follow the law if you don't, you know, stop at the stop sign or stop? If you stop at the light, don't look to your left or right. Well, look, I'm looking around because I want to see what's going on, okay? So I'm just telling you guys, around the United States, and ones who are watching this from wherever you are, that I did get a check over the weekend, and it was passed on to several people to be careful in your own community in the Crenshaw area in Los Angeles, California, in off of Vernon and Slauson and Obama Street and King Boulevard, those surrounding areas are saying, be very, very careful because the gang members are shooting each other up right now. And it could end up really, really bad. So I'm praying that that doesn't happen. I'm praying that, I mean, we already have shootings in our community. That's crazy. But to have a gang war going on and the warning is sent to African-American people, that's just terrible. Okay, it shouldn't only be for African-American people. It should be for everybody. It should be for everybody. Everybody should be able to drive where they want to, walk where they want to, roll where they want to, and do whatever they want to, and not have to worry about being shot down by a gang member. So I thought there was a truce going on, but apparently it's not. So unfortunately, these kind of things are happening right now. So without further ado, we're going to talk about – so I want to shout out to Clarence M. Allen. We're getting ready to bring Clarence M. Allen in, our co-producer, and I want him to do some research on Roe versus Wade. How does a Supreme Court ruling recall, what does it mean? And what states can you not get abortions in? I can tell you some of the states right now. Cousin V, good morning, Cousin V. Good morning, from Garland, Texas. Can't wait for the sports report. Amen, amen. Heard some powerful things are happening. Without further ado, before we bring on our exclusive special guest, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, let's bring in our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Yeti. Good morning to our co-panelists. Good morning to our special guest, Chief Apostle. Good morning to all of our wonderful listeners out there, our followers out there, giving our praise and glory to God to bring the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justin Jones radio show. Tell your friends to call in. Pastor Eddie, every morning, he's hitting grand slam. He's running into the field, catching touchdowns. Man, Pastor Eddie, you're slam dunking every Monday morning, man, with this show, the hot button topic. God bless you. Let's roll.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, well, I want to shout out Cousin V is on. She's going to be doing a sports report. William Shum, my buddy from Susan Miller Dorsey High School. Can't wait to see you at the 85-year reunion at Dorsey High School. For all you Susan Miller Dorsey High School people, we're going to have in October, we have the 85-year reunion at Susan Miller Dorsey High School. Mark your calendar. I'm on the executive board of the Alumni Association, and we will all be there. The good Lord say so. Raising the roof and having fun. And as they say, just having a good time and remembering all the people from all the certain classes of Susan Miller Dorsey High. I want to send a shout out to Mr. Love. God bless Mr. Love. God bless our president, Andrea Cantee, and all of the executive board members. Hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Without further ado, I want to bring in to the studio right now none other than our co-producer, Talana Jones. Good morning, Talana Jones. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning to Clarence and to all the listeners. To my shout out to Aunt Vera Butterfly, I love you. And to all the June birthdays again, I love you all. Happy birthday, everybody, and God bless you all. Love you much, and hi, Daddy.
Hey, all right. And without further ado, our other co-host of the show, none other than my sister, Vera Jones. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie, Clarence, Professor Reams, Talana, Cousin V, all the listeners. I am doing wonderful. How about you?
Doing fantastic. And at some point this morning, I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about ashwagandha. Maybe at some point, you know, when you do your health and wellness, if you could elaborate on ashwagandha a little bit. But without further ado, it's time to get our special guest into the studio, all the way from North Carolina, none other than Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, sir?
God bless you, my friend. God bless everyone that's on this broadcast. And we're, again, thankful to just come on and share some words as we are seeing many things happen in our culture. And I'm glad that there's a voice to discuss the things and talk about things so that people can begin to relate to what is happening in our society.
Amen, amen. Everybody say good morning to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry.
Good morning, Chief Apostle.
Good morning, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry.
Good to hear your voice again.
And Vera.
God bless you. God bless you.
Now, unfortunately, Professor Reams had to, you know, he is a real professor, and he had a very important meeting today, so he won't be on. But Clarence and Allen will be bringing the commentary later on in the show, as well as Regulate the Manual. And we will have Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. We'll have Talana Jones with Words of Wisdom, and we'll have Poetry in Motion and other segments of our show, as we always do around 10:30 a.m. We'll start that. But at this time, without further ado, I'm so honored to have you on, Chief Apostle. Why don't you just open up with what's on your heart this morning and go right ahead and take the floor, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry.
Well, I wanted to, I was listening to the topic that you were talking about the young people that are, you know, leaving the church. And, you know, we have come into a different segment in the faith-based community, where there are so many people that are more interested in just the entertainment and not the actual spirituality of being connected to God. Most of them have come into pulpits, and they have titles and positions, but it's title only. They want the title but don't want the responsibility of what it requires to be vested in the body of Christ. And so that's where it comes into factor, because we were not left unaware of the times like this. As, you know, we look at what the scripture has given us as the designs of the things that we are to look for as disciples and people of God. First and foremost, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, he said this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places."
Yes.
And these are the things that we're seeing. There are people that have gotten into certain sects of government, and they're changing rules and changing different things. And the people are being oppressed, and so it causes a different type of culture. Even as the church is changing, there are being more godly things allowed in the body of Christ and in the church of God. And, you know, I say this, and, you know, this is my opinion. I think that, you know, some of the things that were involved with COVID, at a point, everybody had to leave out of the church building. You couldn't assemble 10 people inside the church. And sometimes, just like Christ did in the biblical days, he turned over the tables because there were too many money changers in the house of God. They were doing everything just for filthy lucre's sake. And all the people of God were suffering because of what was going on in the church. Now, you know, I could touch more on that, but I want to allow some others to come in and speak on that, but then I'm going to try to go into 2 Timothy.
Amen, amen. So don't go anywhere because we want to hear about 2 Timothy. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. If you want to call into the show, you want to speak to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry or anyone on the show, you dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And then you press 1, it'll put you in the queue. Now, if you want to listen online, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with a P. Now, everybody, do me a favor, Candace. Hey, Candace Bowen, God bless you. Hey, God bless you, Naveen. How are you? All the way from India. God bless you. What you do is, okay, amen, praise the Lord. Okay, what you do, if you want to listen to me on Facebook Live and see me right now, you go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, and then you could see me live right now. Anybody can go on Facebook Live right now, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. I am going to start putting it on Instagram and but, you know, right now we're just doing it on Facebook Live. Pretty soon we're going to be moving to Zoom, and we'll be able to see everybody on the show. Thank you for the hearts. All right, Brother Clarence and Malin. Hallelujah. Let's do it. Without further ado, Clarence and Malin, you know what our topic is. Our topic is why are young people from ages 14 to 35 just dropping out of church? I mean, you know, you go in there and say, I mean, kids are telling parents they're not going to church. When we were growing up, we had to go to church. And I'm so glad that we did because it helped my life tremendously. It gave me stability. It gave me leadership. It gave me motivation. It gave me dignity and integrity. It gave me spiritual upliftment, soul. It gave me life. And it taught me how to produce myself in the community, you know. And that's what drove me to later on allow God to anoint me and appoint me as a civil rights leader to work around the United States, touching other people's lives. I would be nothing without God. I can't do anything without God. To God be all the glory. Decrease in me that I may increase in him. I step back so God step up. Hallelujah, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We serve a mighty God. He's an on-time God. And we're going to give him all the glory. Amen, amen. Did you want to say something, Chief Apostle?
I want to say to us, we have to realize the sect of time that we're in. You know, the biblical is broken up into dispensations of time. And, you know, we have been under the period of grace for a long time. But we know that immediately after the grace period comes the tribulation period, and, you know, there were some things that we were told to look out for. Now, as far as our society and the children, you know, the biblical Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. But the problem is there is a breakdown because you have people that are untrained and unspiritual trying to do the teaching that is supposed to be spiritual. And so there is a disconnect, and you know, you see so many people and young people that go into the church and they come out with church hurt. And that is a big issue where people, the way that we are doing things, when people see in the church just a show or just entertainment or just money changing, most people believe that, you know, the church is just a place to go in and just pay another bill instead of a place for us to receive things from God. You get to know the pastor, the choir, the musicians, and all of that, but you never get to know Christ. And so that's where they said, you know, I could do bad all by myself. I could stay home and get that information and not even have to go in and be first say robbed by God. Malachi said, well, a man robbed God. He said, how in have we robbed being tithes and offerings? So we have to be careful how we handle the things of God, because it discourages so many people, and including the young people.
Amen. Praise God, from whom our blessings flow. Without further ado, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, you hit the nail right on the head. I'm going to go to Clarence and Mallon. Clarence and Mallon, please take the floor. How do you feel about these young people that are dropping out of churches like flies? And there's such a commitment. We need the young people so they could have the future. They could be the future of the church. It says train up a child. Mm-hmm. So go right ahead, Clarence and Mallon, take the floor. How do you feel about these kids dropping out of church and young adults?
Well, how I feel and the state of my being and my opinion would be two different things, but they would both be in agreement with each other. You know, you, Pastor Eddie, the great chief, the Apostle Kenneth Curry, have hit all of the bases pretty much on this topic, and there is also more room for the body with this topic. Mm-hmm. Things have changed. You know, it goes back to what you said, Pastor Eddie. I remember being a kid, your mom and dad gave you some change. If they didn't take you to church, they would send you to church. But times have changed. There are many facets. There are many elements in which life have changed. You walk up the street and you'll see somebody who will say, oh, my God. And on average, we're never stepping to a church or haven't stepped in a church in years or months.
That's right.
I won't pick up the word, won't pray. So my question would be to them, who is your God? You know, I'm not even going to even think about stepping in some shoes so large as the great chief apostle Kenneth Curry. But I will say this, that because of times of change, the parents are the head of the household. If the parents are not having prayer at the table, if the parents are not reading some kind of word in the home, if the parents are not getting the kids in the car on Sunday and taking them to church, the child has no initiative to go on his own. We cannot teach what we don't know, and we can't leave where we can't go. So that child is disconnected spiritually. You know, spirituality comes from Africa. It's a part of our being, the third element of our soul. It's one of the main elements of our soul, our connection with spirituality, with God, and even our ancestors. So when we look at why kids don't go to church no more. You know, last night I was looking at the BET Awards, and the ways of the world have taken over the show. Sexuality, you know, there's this phrase, and we all have heard it. People say, well, I want to turn up. Well, before you turn up, you first have to be turned out, you know. So in order to follow some of these, we're being led astray. You and the apostle know it, and even our listeners are very aware that a lot of these communication vernaculars we use are what Granny V would say are stigmas, what Dr. Rita would say are stigmas. They are stumbling blocks. They lead us astray. So it's just so much, Pastor Eddie, Apostle, Lana, Granny V, and to all our wonderful listeners. There is so much that's leading us astray. I remember you would have Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your door. I remember churches would go out and on missions and knock on doors and invite the community to the church. So many things have changed within the church. You know, like you said earlier in the program, you rarely find 10 people in the average church service now. Everybody's at home doing this. They have this new God. And when you look up the word God after supreme being and creator, it's something that you place high value on in worship. And these are the electronic devices, you know. People cannot put down their telephone You know, I picked up my son from work last night, and I'm coming down the 110 freeway heading back to Long Beach. This car is all over the road. So when I go around the car to get on the side of the person, doing 75. On the phone texting. Mm-hmm. In the number one lane. Mm-hmm. Cars have to change and get over to avoid. So, you know, Chief Apostle, you may be able to get in this deeper than I can. You know, there are two gods in the Bible, Beelzebub. And these gods, what they do is they make good evil and evil good. So now when we look at the ways of the world, the bad things, and even you see it in TV, where the sexuality, the language, profanity has been used in a sense where it's good, but yet it's not. And the things that are right, upright, and good are being put down and shunned as being bad and evil. So if we're not aware and be aware of these trickerations, these deceptions, these misleading guidances that is taking the minds of many of us and leading us astray, it's just the beginning. This is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to you know, put this, but we're living in the last days. If you don't believe it, look at the murder and mayhem and this discord for respect and dignity and integrity in our streets these days. The government is slowly but surely taking control over the churches. I noticed that during COVID-19, you could go to the club, you could go to the comedy store, but you couldn't go to church. And like Chief Apostle said, you could only have 10 people inside the church. And for a long time, we had church outside in the parking lot. We bought a big old giant tent, and you had to wear a mask. You had to check your fever. Even now, we're still in COVID protocol at our church. I preached yesterday. Yesterday, we preached, and we had a good time at church. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Came out of the book of Romans, and we talked about my theme was, what are you doing with your temple? Because see, your body is a temple. The legs are the court and roundabout. From the neck to the waist is the holiest place, and the brain is the most holiest place. What are you doing with your temple was my theme. And my title of my sermon was, what are you doing to God's body? God gave you that body. God gave you that body. But if you're putting alcohol in that body all day, if you're putting drugs in that body all day, cocaine in the body all day, you're going around sexing everybody all day and all night, you're not taking care of God's temple properly. If you're eating 10 meals a day and you're eating every kind of sugar that you can think of, you're not taking care of God's property. You got to know how to take care of the temple that God gave you. And that's what the sermon was about yesterday. Sometimes we preach about love and all that, but sometimes you got to preach about the real deal Holyfield. You can't just always sugarcoat the word of God. You got to come real. God wants you to take care of your temple. Chief Apostle, would you like to elaborate on that a little bit?
Glad that you brought up a very relevant quote, and you said that, you know, we are living in the last days. That's why I wanted to go right over to 2 Timothy, and that's chapter 3, and starting at verse 1, 1 through 7, for those that are reading. You'll find some great information there that is relevant to what we are seeing in our society today. First and foremost, he begins by telling us, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, meaning dangerous times they shall come. And if we're not living in dangerous times right now, I don't know what is. But he also begins to outline what it should look like in these dangerous times. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Come on. Unthankful. Unholy. Come on, somebody. Without natural affection. natural affection would tell you it's wrong to take another human life. But because the world has been so affected, these young people who are just gamers, you know, and they're playing all these games, Grand Theft Auto and all these different other games that are out there. So to them, life becomes like just the game. So, you know, in the game, you can just shoot somebody and just press the button and reset and start it over again. But when they get out in real life, they think they're supposed to react that same way because there's no spirituality in them to guide them in wisdom. So they act without natural affections. Then you have truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers, come on, of those that are good. Traitors, hitty, high-minded. This is what we was talking about earlier. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's the reason why they're sitting outside the church, because they like the pleasure of having their convenience to do whatever they want to. People want to be spiritual when they want to be spiritual and not under the unction of God to pursue a relationship with Him. You know, they'll pursue relationship with other people. The knowledge and the wisdom of God, we pursue relationships with people that are of the same identity and sex and all of that. And all these things are not of God. But
look at the first five.
Yes, sir.
If I may, you know, excuse me, but if I may, I was just speaking of how there are some people who say, my God, may never go into a church. And it says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
That's
such turn away.
Right in there, right next, because that describes the church. That verse was put in there to describe what the church was looking like, because the church has the sect of godliness. So he's telling us right now they have a form of God. It looks holy and all of that, looks all spiritual and all of that, but it's not, because they have ushered out the power, which is the Holy Spirit, has been ushered out of the church. And so they're not being conformed to the image of His Son. They have did what Paul warned us about. He said, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the church is being conformed to the image. They have created God in their own image and not the image of His Son. And that's why you see so much mess that is going on in the church right now. And he said, from such, turn away. You get away from that, because that is not of God. You know,
amen, Chief Apostle. Go right ahead. Finish your statement. Go ahead.
The book of Acts, you know, Acts was actually written by Luke, the physician, but he wrote something in Luke 17:22 and 23. Now, it says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. He said, for as I passed by, watch this, and beheld your devotion, your worship, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. In the sect of church, in the spiritual community, in the faith-based community, you're seeing some ignorant worship. I mean, honestly, there's some people that are doing everything that they're big enough to do in the house of God, and they're calling it of God. But there are people that are doing things in there, just going through the motions of church. So to them, they're doing it to the unknown God. They don't really know God. They don't have a relationship with Him. So it's still ignorant worship.
Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom our blessings for you on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, and your rights and my rights. But right now, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, all of our young people are just dropping out of church now. Some are young adults. And I want to thank you, Vera, for coming to church yesterday to hear me preach. I want to thank my Uncle Bernard. Michael Bernard that came, and also all the people who came to support us yesterday. You know, what a great day we had. Our praise and our devotion was good. Our praise and worship was good, and the word was off the hook because our body is a temple, and we do have to take care of what God gave us, and God gave us this body, so we have to take care of it. It's a temple, and you just can't put anything in it. You got to put the right things in it to get the right things out of it. Amen. Praise God from whom my blessings flow. Vera, take the floor. Why are we losing so many young people from church? And why aren't the parents requiring them to go and serve God? Because we had to go give God some time. Go ahead, Vera.
Well, Eddie, my feeling is that it's a different time here on earth, and everything is not peaceful, and the people are not peaceful. They forgot about family values and about what love really is. And out of love, you want to teach your loved ones everything that you know because you want them to be better, do better. So growing up in our household, we were all going to church. There was not a question, do you want to go? No, it is just a part. And we grew up with our Father Quimby. That's what we called him. The pastor, Father Quimby, because he was a father to anyone and everyone, meaning the elders and the children, and all the children were really happy and proud to be at church. So now, if you ask your child, do you want to do something, do you want to go rake the leaves, they're like, no, I don't want to. But if you tell them, yes, that's a different thing. And so we need to speak more to our children and our grandchildren and great-grands and put more respect back into their lives. We have to speak about God and make sure that they visit God's house, and that means that we have to take them. We have to treat it like we don't ask our children, do we have to go to school? Do you want to go to school? No. They're going to school or homeschooling. So the message of being close to God is taking some of the things that they don't have to have away, whether Chief Apostle mentioned like gaming, the cell phone, just limiting it to a certain time or period, but if they could be on it 24 hours of the day, yes, that happens. So, yeah, it was a bit lengthy, Eddie, but yes, thank you, and that was a great message that you shared yesterday. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God be the glory. Lloyd Smith. Hey, what's up, son? How are you? Thank you. Lloyd Smith, what's going on, son? How are you, man, on Facebook Live? Okay, everybody on Facebook Live, do me a big favor. Share this with 10 people right now. Share this topic with 10 people right now. If everybody that's on Facebook Live shares this with 10 people, we're going to have a lot more people getting the word this morning, and we're getting the word from a civil rights standpoint, because we got to remember, our kids are dropping out of church, the church is being messed up by the government, and there's a new world order that's already taking place, it's already walking into its place, and you guys better watch the Pope very carefully. Watch the Pope, because the Pope has the power to change everything that has to go on with the church. And I want to go to Talana Jones, my daughter. Talana, what do you think about all the people, all the young people from the ages of 14 to 35 that are dropping out of church? Take the floor, Talana. Go right ahead.
I just agree with Aunt Vera's statement that it's I would also include that some of our elders need to also understand that it's difficult when, like right now in this day and age, there's no mentorship, there's no love, there's no foundation. We used to have glue that held us together, that gave us that wisdom and the power to be able to understand the know-how that God is and only is, and he is first and foremost in all of our lives. So it frustrates me because I have, this is just a personal experience. I took my son to church, and one of the elders told my son he looked like a gangster. And it kind of shut his spirit down. And so I thought that was very hurtful. I mean,
I want to address
it bothers me because, I mean, we want to praise the Lord. We want to be able to show God that we love him to the utmost, but we also have to look to our elders for wisdom. So it goes both ways.
I want to feed back on that.
Okay,
you're
now, that's a thank you so much. Thank you for bringing that up, Talon. I want to share something. Now, this particular day that my grandkids came to the church, there's one lady that came to our, that's been at our church, and she has a mental disability. She's paranoid. She's bipolar, whatever. She's a female Caucasian. Matter of fact, there's only a few of them that come to that African Methodist Episcopal Church. She's always trying to say something to do things to people. And that particular day, when my grandson came, when no adults were around, she walked up to him and said, "Oh, what are you doing here? You look like a gang member." However, I took that to the head pastor. Even though I'm a pastor, I took it to our head pastor. She was scolded very well. "Hey, Georgia Horton, how are you? God bless you, Georgia. God bless you. Praise God." She was reprimanded. She was told never to approach any of the young people at the church anymore. "Hey, Georgia, God bless you." And also, too, she is no longer allowed that church because she did something else. And on that one, she was actually dismissed from the church. And we don't want to ever dismiss people from church. But demons come to church. Rapists come to church. Whoremongers come to church. Thieves come to church. Murderers come to church. The church is a hospital for sinners. The church is a hospital for sinners. And so they come to get their sins, you know, but some people come there to also, the devil comes to church too. The devil knows the Bible forward and backwards. And the devil is cunning and tempting and heartless, very heartless. And so I want to elaborate on that a little bit. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, please take the floor, because you have people in the church trying to, like you know how you have greeters at the door, right? The first person that people see when they come to church are the greeters. And that's why I always talk to the greeters and say, no, your job is to make people feel good coming into church. The greeters are the first people that they see. They greet them at the door, give them a pamphlet. I say, you should have a smile on your face, and you should welcome them in the name of Jesus. And come on in and have a great time. I think that's so very, very important. I have a small response for that. Okay, we're going to get right to you, Brother Clarence. I see you. But Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, please take the floor. The greeters are the first ones at the door. Why is it so important? Why is it so very important to greet people and make sure that they come in and feel welcomed at the church? Go ahead.
But, see, we have to realize that there are people out there that are there to deceive as well. Like we just talked about, there's a form of godliness. Now, watch what 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says. He says, watch this, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not of us." There are a whole lot of people. That's why it's not just enough to say, okay, I want to get my child to church. You got to make sure that your child is under the right teaching, because there
okay,
are those that will teach for every other reason than the spiritual reason. They're teaching for filthy lucre's sake. They're teaching for deception and all of these things. And we've seen so many people that have mishandled the things of God. But like I said, that's why we have to be so close and so rooted in the Word of God that we understand what the Word is saying to us. Now, I jumped into the book of Acts chapter 17, but I didn't go all the way down to verse 29. Now, as we're going into the church, there's some things that we have to know about the things of God. And it says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold." Come on, somebody. Silver, stones, graven by arts of man's devices. Come on, somebody. And he said, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so,
amen.
Churches that are pushing this philosophy of just, you know, the financial. Oh, you're getting ready to get this. You're getting ready to get that. And all these things. They fail to preach to you and tell you, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all things will become on somebody. Oh, y'all ain't going to make
me preach. Amen. Add it on to you. Hallelujah.
It's okay.
But
when you come in seeking God in the church of God, that's when you begin to reap the blessings of God, because all those things are laid up for the saints, but they make you think you got to come through them to get all of the things that God has in store for you. It's a part to see the people of God. If you don't remember anything that the chief apostle said, the Bible said that you may know the things that are freely given unto you of God.
Amen.
The things of God are free: love, joy, peace, gentleness. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
So we ought not let all of these people keep deceiving us with all these doctrines and everyone. Don't be moved by every wind of doctrine, because there are deceivers out there. Like I said, it's not just enough to take your children to church, but you got to make sure what these preachers are preaching is the real word. And not let put junk into you or your children.
Now, Chief Apostle, I want to say this too. Yesterday at church, we had some people that were really going through some things, so we anointed their heads with oil before we prayed with them. We had an anointing service within our service that we didn't even plan to do. It was just the time to anoint some people with oil. And let me tell you something, it turned into an amazing anointing for those who were anointed with the oil and prayed for it right there on the spot. You see, you said something very, very important, and I want people to let this thing into the resonance of their heart and mind. You can't let everybody lay hands and pray for you. Everybody cannot lay hands and pray for you.
That's good. That's good.
Okay.
My pastor.
Because, like I said, this particular lady that was coming to the church was over at one point over the kids' choir, and she was teaching those kids some things that they did not need to be taught. So we had to pull her in the office. We had to have the pastors, the head pastor, myself, and other people. Hey, Lloyd Smith. Hey, Joe Bonds. Hey, Sylvester Fulton on Facebook Live. God bless you. God bless you. And we had to call her in the office, and we had to unfortunately dismiss her from her position, because she was feeding those kids bad information. You got folk coming to church for the wrong reasons. And this is why a lot of our young people are leaving the church, because they feel like they look up and see the leader of the church. You see the leader of the church stealing money from the church, or you see the leader of the church doing something with the women of the church that he shouldn't be doing. You see the leader of the church driving a brand new Rolls Royce, and everybody else is trying to figure out how to get food on their table. So the leader has to be a hallelujah. The leader has to be a leader that leads by example. He is in the light of the sheep. If you're going to lead the sheep, if one sheep goes astray, you need to go get that one sheep and bring that sheep back in and find out what is the problem. How can we help you? The church is a place where if your lights get turned off, you should be able to go to the pastor and say, "Pastor, my lights are off." We don't need a lifetime story about why your lights are off. All we need is your bill, and we're going to turn your lights back on. Amen. Praise God. You're hungry, you come to the church. We go to the food shelter, and we open up the food shelter and we get you whatever we have in our refrigerator and in our cabinets and whatever vegetables and meat we have to make sure that there's a meal for you and your family. This is what the church is all about. The church is a business also. Lights got to stay on. The gas bill got to be paid. The things got to be taken care of in the church. So you, amen, hallelujah, praise God. We need to take care of the church, and the church will take care of us. But first we have to submit to God and bow down to God. No matter who you are or who you think you are nothing without God. So I'm going to go back to you, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. What do you feel about people who come to church with their own hidden agendas as far as manipulating? And let's keep it real. We're talking about deacons, ministers, and pastors. Okay? Go right ahead.
One of the key things that we have to have in this season is spiritual discernment. Because the Bible teaches us that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, neither a bad tree bear good fruit. You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. You know,
come on now.
He said everyone that confesses that Jesus is Lord, you know, and the ones that do not confess that Jesus is Lord, but see, they become their own God and have their own underlining agendas. But God is faithful. He will expose the wickedness. He always does. But we have to know the word of God in order to recognize the devices of the enemy. That's why he said, you study to do what show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. If we can rightly divide the word, you could see them coming a mile off. You know, they can't sneak up on you. I always said, as the scripture told us, the devil walks around, what, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Pastor Eddie, I had to look at that because I'm like, okay, well, why did he describe the enemy as a lion? Because a lion is a prowler. He will sneak up on you, and before you know it, he will pounce on you. You see these animal shows where they're crouched down in the grass, and the other animal may be about 5 feet away from this lion and not even know it. And so the other thing is, lions can see in the dark better than you can. So when you're in that dark place in your life, that's when he comes to attack in your weakness. He's not going to come after you when you're in a strong place. He's going to come after you when you're in an isolated place, things are acting up, things are going wrong in your life, and that's when he comes. When I would do good, evil is always present. Come on.
Hallelujah. Now, you know, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, I think it's terrible if you are a leader in the church, if you are a deaconess, a deacon, a minister or a pastor, and you are misleading the sheep. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but I think that misleading the sheep in the church is like the worst thing that you could do. If you were conning someone to do something, manipulating them out of their money, you know, when it comes to offering, and we'll just use this as an example, I believe in doing an offering because God says give up 10% of your earning. 10% of your earning. So that's what God's requirement is. I'm not worried about where my money is going when I put it in that basket. I just want to do the offering the right way. I want to do communion the right way. And I want to make sure that people understand that God doesn't need your money, but God blessed you with the money that you have. So you should be able to, hallelujah, put 10% of your earnings into the church. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, Chief Apostle. Go right ahead.
We are mindful of our surroundings. You remember Christ himself said, he said, have I chosen 12? And one of you is a devil. So we have to be mindful. Those people out there all the time, they're all around us. They're hiding within the body of Christ. They're always there. they have the same objective that they have had as the objective of the enemy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's their agenda. They want to tear down the programs of God. They're going to steal from the program of God and all of that. So they're doing what their assignment. When Judas came in, he was doing his assignment. That's what he said, whatever you're going to do, you go do it quickly, because he knew what he was assigned to do. So there are some people that will come into your midst, and they will blend in just like all the other people, the disciples. They worship with you and all of that, but they got a different agenda. Come on.
And, you know, I want to let people know, you know, yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Is that you, Brother Clarence?
Amen.
Brother Clarence,
Yes.
One second, Brother Clarence. And you can, go ahead, Brother Clarence, wait 1 second. I want to send a shout-out to Lloyd Smith, my son out there. And he said, try the Spirit by the Spirit. Spirit by the Spirit. And that is such a true statement. You got to try the Spirit by the Spirit. And eventually, let me tell you something about it. Let me tell you something about a demonic spirit, and then we're going to give it to Brother Clarence. It can only for so long hold up that facade. They come on with this facade like they're this, that, the other. But later on, at some point, that facade is going to come down, and you're going to see the demon in that person. When you try that spirit by the Spirit, that's when you're going to get educated on who you're really dealing with. Okay? Because, see, if they're dealing in the flesh, you already know what that, you know, that's going to eventually evolve and show itself. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to leave that there. There are some prolific speakers, prolific leaders, but what is the real agenda? Are you really on point with God? Are you really serving and seeking God's face? Are you following God's commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet a man's wife. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. I could go on and on. If you're living to the best of your ability in God's commandments, you're going to be all right. But if you are faking the funk and putting up a facade and coming off with all these prolific great words and slamming all these scriptures down the line and ain't living not one of them, but you're using it to manipulate the women of the church, you're in the wrong business. And God will reveal you. God will reveal you. I'm not going to say no pastor's name, but I've seen pastors step down from large churches because they were manipulating, stealing money from the church, got a couple of women pregnant in the church, and they just had to step down. The head people of the church had to go in there and grab them and say, you got to step down. You know, so now let's get back to the real subject matter. Let's go back to our topic is, why are youth between the ages of 14 and our young adults 35 dropping out of the churches? Why aren't parents making it a requirement to serve God? That is our topic. And now you hear why, because when people are in the church manipulating and the young people are watching and they see these type of activities, it discourages from them coming to church and believing in God. And that's why if we're going to put on the full armor of God, we got to come correct. If we're going to be a leader in the church, we got to lead by example. We got to walk that walk and talk that talk and stay on that line with God, especially in front of our young people, because we're teaching them how to become exhorters of the Word of God, and a servant to God, teaching them how to praise God, teaching them how to glorify God, teaching them how to understand God. And that doesn't happen overnight. It's a lesson for life. With that being said, I'm going to go back to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Clarence M. Allen, before Chief Apostle starts back, go right ahead. You have something to say. Go ahead, Clarence M. Allen.
I want to speak about two personalities, but before I do that, I want to say this about the church. The church always welcome people. They say, come as you are. You don't have to wear a suit to step into a church.
That's right.
You can get up off your bed if you're living on the streets. even if you haven't had a shower. Walk in that church and seek God. And we, as the children of God, as Christians, or whatever your practice is, we need to allow that Spirit of God to work in us to accept and love them for who they are, as they are. Now I want to speak about two creatures. There was this one creature named Frankenstein. Frankenstein was put together by this college student, Dr. Frankenstein, with all these different body parts. He was so grotesque and ugly when he came to life. Nobody wanted to be around him except the old blind man who he talked to. Came back to their cottage, and they finally seen Frankenstein talking to their grandfather, who was blind. They ran Frankenstein off. That made Frankenstein hate humanity. That set him off. There's another guy who lived in a cave that couldn't be chained or bound. The town was scared to go around him. He broke every chain they put up on him. And one day Jesus went in there and sat down and talked to the guy. And the guy understood civilization and life and become humble as anybody else. His name was Legion. Now, can you imagine if Frankenstein and Legion would have walked in that church and sat right down next to that lady? What would she would have said to them?
Come on.
Come on now.
Come on. Well, with that being said, Brother Clarence, I want to, before we go back to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, and your right to go to church. Remember, 300 years ago, you couldn't go into a church. You were called a Negro, and that's putting it easy. You were not allowed into the white churches. We had to have church on our own. But the slave masters did use the pastors to talk to the slaves to keep them in line and use biblical scriptures to keep the workers and the slaves in line. We got to remember that. But without further ado, let's get Cousin V in the studio all the way from Garland, Texas. Good morning, Cousin V. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Amen. Praise God. Everybody say good morning to Cousin V all the way from Garland, Texas.
Good morning,
good morning Cousin V.
Good morning to everyone and all our listeners today.
Now, Cousin V, I know you got something to say about all these young people dropping out of church right now. Why do you think all the young people from the ages of 14 to 35 are dropping out of church right now?
I wrote down, I agree with everyone's statements, and then I wrote down like four different reasons I thought. So one is us, our generation, because like you said, when we were brought up, we went to every church service they had from the time it opened to the time it closed, every day we had to. And so when we grew up, we thought that our parents wasn't treating us right by taking us to church and making us do those things. So we start to be lenient on our kids. So now our kids are raising kids, and so that's being passed down. So it does start even with us. And then also I was listening also to sermons over the weekend. COVID has a lot of things to do with it. The enemy found a way to come in and shut down the churches because I like the verse, like they say, well, we touch and agree, where two or three touch and agree. Well, one of the pastors said, you know what, when we had COVID, we couldn't touch anybody. So that was another point. Another point is I know for a fact, because I go to a church, they cut out every child's program in the church. And I mean, I used to have fun doing BTU and learning how to, I forgot the one where you took the Bible, you put your hand on the Bible, then you open the verse as fast as you can out of all the kids to see who could read the verse first. They took all of that out. Our Sunday school for kids, our vacation Bible schools, our BTU and those kind of things like that. And then also we got the old and the new people. The old people don't want to adjust to new people and the new generation but we have to be able to, you know, be able to have open minds between, like, because times have changed and we have to go with change. We don't have to turn over and have, like, all kind of rap or things like that, you know, it's changed. But we have to be able to intertwine both old and new. And then also we don't realize the significance of needing God until we're getting older and out of school. So that's another thing. We really don't realize how much we really need God, because I know you'll be 60-something and I'll be 62 in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And we've learned that, hey, man, we really, really, if it hadn't been for God, we wouldn't even make it to see this age. So that's my, that's how I feel about what's happening to the church.
Amen, well, Cousin
V. Amen, Cousin V.
Amen, Cousin V.
Okay, first of all, I want to shout out on Facebook Live, Regina King. Good to see you on, Regina King. We're talking about a very sensitive subject matter, but I want to tell you this. Here's our first topic, if you didn't hear. Why are the youth between ages of 14 to 35, young adults, dropping out of the church? Why aren't parents making it a requirement to serve God? When we were growing up, it was mandatory. We better get up and get to church. But let me tell you something. At church then, they had a lot of young people's programs. They had the young people's department. They had Jesus by Christ, which was a Christian sorority, fraternity, and sorority for young boys and girls to be involved. They had Sunday school, the kids' Sunday school, which was ran by a young person to help the kids learn about God. And that's the problem now. Our kids now are not learning about God. Parents, you know, I hear kids tell their parents, I ain't going to church today. I'm playing the game. Okay, well, I wish I could tell my parent I wasn't going to play the game all day while they go to church. They'd be going to snatch the game off the wall and fold it up and put it in a box and put it in their closet, and you wouldn't be playing a game for a long time. But anyway, you're playing games with your life if you don't know how to serve God, and you're not trying to serve God, and you feel like you don't need God in your life, and you wonder why you keep having all these problems. Well, you don't know God, and you're not having a relationship with God, and then you're not telling your kids they have a relationship with God, and then you have all these babies having babies that don't know nothing about God. And I'll give you the prime example. I'm walking down the street about 3 weeks ago, and a young lady was dragging her two-year-old baby, and she called that baby everything but its name. She said, bring your little so-and-so apostrophe question mark pound sign on right now. And I stopped her, and I said, excuse me, I know you're like 18 or 19 years old. I said, but that baby don't know no better. If you keep talking to that baby like that, when it grow up, it's going to talk to you the way you're talking to it, and it's going to talk to its child that way. You need to break that curse right now and start treating that baby differently so you can get some better results. Because what you put into that child is what you're going to get out of that child. Amen. Mm-hmm. If you like what I said, just clap your hands, because I'm telling you right now, what you put into the child is what you're going to get out of the child. Amen. So if you teach him how to go to church right now, he's going to learn how to go to church and teach his kids how to go to church one day. But the church is being destroyed by the government. The church is being destroyed by demonic forces. And we got to make sure that we stay on point. And with that being said, I'm going to get our closing remarks on this subject matter. We're going to go to our second topic. But before we go to our second topic, we're going to get our closing remarks from Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Our second topic is Roe versus Wade. What does the Supreme Court ruling recall mean? What states can you not get an abortion? What states can you not get an abortion? I got five states already I could tell you where you can't get an abortion anymore because of Roe versus Wade. Go right ahead, Chief Apostle. Give us the closing on young people dropping out of church.
Now, on this end of it, as we look at it, I pulled up Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 20, and I want us to understand that these people are not getting away, those that are mishandling the things of God, because it says, and again, when the righteous man do turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, meaning he's sinning against knowledge, and I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning, but he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness, which he have done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will be required of thy hand. Now, because people, they think they're getting away with all this stuff that they're doing in the church, they're sinning against the knowledge of God. You knew, but you use the things of the world to hide behind the cloth. And you're doing wicked things in the name of Jesus, and you see it all the time. All of these people are doing all these things in the name of Jesus. But we may not see what they do, but God sees what they do, and he is the just God, and he's going to reward them according to their work as shall be. He said, vengeance is mine, what I will repay, saith the Lord. So,
right, come on now.
I just say to the people today, make sure in all that getting, you get wisdom. Get under teaching that is going to teach you how to be wiser in life and how to do things better with your children. He said, in all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Let's give a big hand for Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry sharing with us this morning.
Apostle Curry.
Amen, amen. Now, when we discuss this topic here, we're not promoting anything good, bad, or in between. We're just supporting a woman's rights because women have rights. Women have rights, and they should really have rights when it comes to their body. We're not just talking about abortion here. Abortion is just a topic and subject matter. We're talking about women losing their right to make a choice. That's my situation. That's my problem. I think that all women should have a choice to do what they want to do with their body within reason, you know, especially if they're in a medical condition and they need to get something done, such as an abortion. But our second topic is Roe versus Wade. What does the Supreme Court ruling recall mean? What states can you not get a abortion? Can somebody tell me a state right now? I'm going to name one. Texas, Missouri, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Tennessee, you cannot get an abortion there. Does anybody else know any other states where you cannot get an abortion? Go ahead. Anybody?
Yes, Pastor Eddie. I think we should go to the beginning first, and we need to go back to where it all started, where there was the Roe versus Wade case back in 1973. We're looking at the Supreme Court ruling where they voted 7-3, making it applicable for a woman to have an abortion. You know, it affirms the legality of a woman's right to have an abortion under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. We're looking back at that time where a lady was violated, and a lot of women have been violated since then. Should they be forced to have a child of a rapist, of a predator, of a murderer, even of incest? And so when we look at that law being passed, and now the Supreme Court comes back 6-3 just last week to change and revert the law back to the old law, turning time back 50 years or more, we're looking at now you will have to have money to go to a different state because there are states that is committed to go along with helping a woman to have to get rid of a child that she didn't agree to have in the first place and maybe even been violated by her rights. So we're looking at like at least 13 states which have abortions banned and even trigger laws, and those trigger laws were the old laws that were waiting to go into effect after the Supreme Court changed the ruling in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. So we're looking at trigger bans in Idaho, Wyoming, like you said, North Dakota, Texas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, And not only that, we're looking at abortion bans in Utah, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arizona, Kentucky, Alabama, and even Louisiana. And, you know, when I look at this map, it looks like the heart of the South and even some speckles in the northern states, you know, man. There was this doctor that I don't remember his name, but if you look up Dr. Marion Sims, you'll find in history where during the time of slavery, where black women without anesthesia was having certain surgeries on their private parts. And, and this doctor, he created this medical device which women use now to go get their pap smear. So this is just some ugly things that has been done to women throughout time and history, and this is just so beautiful to see women standing up for their pro-choice, for their pro-rights, for their decision. Because we grew up in a nation where the European white man, he discriminated and took the rights from everybody. I remember women had to go hide on the back porch just to smoke a cigarette. You know, you couldn't do nothing without. We didn't have the right to vote. So this nation, it has come a long way, but it seems to be getting knocked back.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Thank you very much for the information. Okay, I want to say this to you. Thank you very much. Okay. Women should be able to have a choice in what they want to do when it comes to their body. There's no way in God's green earth should the government be able to dictate, hey, Evangelist Virginia Valentine, hey, Brother Henry Bradley, welcome to our show, Brother Henry Bradley. There's no way in God's green earth. Gloria Majors, thank you very much. Regina King, thank you very much. Everybody on Facebook Live, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this time in the game, we need to be playing like it's the last quarter, okay? That means that we're living in the end days, okay? So we need to pay close attention to not only what the government is doing, but what is going on in our streets, what is going on in our communities, and what's going on in our lives and in our families, okay? Because right now they're making it going to be very difficult. They're making survival hard. Right now they got this water shortage thing going on. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on, groceries missing off the shelves. A drought is coming, and I told you this before. Get ready, because there's a new cup of coffee being brewed every second. But before we, let's face the reality of our subject. Our second topic is Roe versus Wade. What does the Supreme Court ruling recall mean? And what states can you not get an abortion in? I just named about five of them just a while ago. When you take away a woman's choice to her body, you're taking away something super big. Before we go back to Apostle Kenneth Curry, we're going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, how do you feel about Roe versus Wade and what the Supreme Court ruling is? Go right ahead, Vera.
Well, Eddie, that's a really strong, you know, topic there, because every embryo is a gift from God, and it's like a tree. So are you going to chop a tree down just because it's growing and because it will change your life? So everyone has their own opinion, but my opinion on abortion is no, unless there is some type of something happening going on with your body that you want to save yourself. So that is my opinion, Eddie.
I respect that. Cousin V, all the way down there in Garland, Texas. Tell me how you feel about Roe versus Wade. Should a woman have a choice to get an abortion, or how do you feel about it? Go right ahead, Cousin V.
I still, I was just sitting here thinking, because
we get on this subject, and Roe versus Wade became a woman, and it became something that a woman came, you know, with this law, and it was put into effect with a woman and her name. Well, the Constitution has a lot of amendments and rights without one specific person. But I was just thinking about the ladies back in the Bible days and even our ancestors that were slaves that had no rights. They couldn't get abortions. They had to go through, just like other women are today, they had to go through everything that women are going through, but they didn't have a choice. And they did have to carry those kids, and those kids did have to grow up and be parented by them. So I'm a nurse. I really don't care for women having abortions, because when we lay down and we know we're having sex and we come up pregnant, we shouldn't just go out and abort a life that God has blessed us with. I've lost a baby in spontaneous abortion, which the placenta came first. It drowned my baby. And, you know, so it's a touchy subject, but that's my view.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Cousin V, and thank you for getting deep, because that's personal and it's deeper, deeper in the ocean. Also, Evangelist Virginia Valentine on Facebook Live says, the Bible says our body is the temple of God. Now I know she didn't know that yesterday I preached, my theme was, what are you doing with your temple? And that's the court, your legs are the court and roundabout. Right here to your neck is the holiest place, and then your mind is the most holiest place. Your body is the temple. My theme was, what are you doing with your temple? And then my title for my sermon was, what are you doing with God's body that he gave you? God gave you that body. But it's just amazing that she would say, no, the Bible says our body is the temple of God. And it just coincides with what I just said. It's like a confirmation. We got to take care of our body, which is a temple. And what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. You put sugar in your body all day, you're going to get sugar acting activities. Your mind is not going to be right. Your body's not going to be right. But if you put in the vegetables and the wonderful things that you're supposed to have, your body's going to give you a whole lot more longevity and strength and endurance. So you put in, you get what you put in. Our topic right now is Roe versus Wade. What does the Supreme Court ruling recall mean? And what states can you not get a abortion? I just want to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. Tell us how you feel about women's choices. Should a woman have a choice to do what she wants with her body, especially if she wants to get an abortion? We're talking about it on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Go ahead, Talana.
Thank you, Daddy. As I said previously before, I do feel like there are women who have gone through, like wrongful sex cases that or have been molested or raped and are put in a position where they have no choice and have to make that choice and have to live with it for the rest of their lives. I don't personally, I've been blessed to say that I had all five of my kids. I agree with Cousin V about taking a life. When we have the responsibility of contraception, of how your baby transpires, it's your responsibility and accountability to carry your baby and go the full term, and also, you know, take up that full responsibility of being a mother. So that is a privilege and a blessing that God has blessed us to be able to have. And for women who are standing up for their rights, I respect that. I really do. So I extend prayers for the women who have to go through abortion, but I don't personally agree with it for myself.
Amen. Thank you very much. Let's give a big hand for Talana's statement there. That takes a lot of guts to just keep it real and say it the way it really is. That's right. Keep it real. Keep it real. Okay, we're going to close out on this We're going to hear from Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry with his closing remarks, and then we're going to go into our regular segments. And so don't miss our regular segments. Don't miss the commentary. Don't miss the words of wisdom. Hey, what's up, Ms. Williams? God bless you. God bless you. And don't miss Regulate the Manual. And don't miss, hallelujah, praise God, for whom my blessings flow, the sports report. We got the sports report coming to you in just a few minutes. Without further ado, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, please take the floor and give us your closing remarks on Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court ruling, and if you could name a state that will not allow women to get an abortion while you're closing it out. Go right ahead, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry.
Well, I know that there are many, and let me just share this so we don't impede the time. I do agree with the lady Vera and Juana on the things that they spoke, but what we have to remember as people of God, everybody is not saved. Everybody is not saved. And so with that said, as we look at our scriptures in the context, Jeremiah mm-hmm. chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way mm-hmm. of life and the way of death." That's for us to choose. When we choose to become spiritual, when we choose to become Christians, you know, we make that choice. Now, for someone to come in and say, okay, well, I think everybody should be Jewish, you know, and worship. Then you say, well, I don't want to be Jewish. I want to be Christian. But see, you're taking that choice away from the person to choose that type. We chose to be Christians. We chose that type of lifestyle. That's why God put in his provision. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, because mm-hmm. every man, whatever you do, you're going to come before the Lord and stand before him. Remember in Joshua 24 and 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the yes. gods which were your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But watch this, as for me and my house, we will serve
my house."
He made a choice to serve the Lord. Now, what if that choice was not given to him? What if God had not given him the opportunity to make that choice, but said, okay, you're just going to serve the God of the Amorites, and that's it, you know?
Right.
Then that's taking away who God is, because we have to remember the gift of God is eternal life. Now, people can either mm-hmm. accept that gift or decline it. He said, but if they decline it, you shake the dust off your feet and move on, because at the end of the day, every man, great, small, you're going to stand before God and you'll be judged on the things which are done in the body. But I say for the women that are listening, they should have the right to make the choices that they are going to make in life, whether they are good or bad, you know, because like I said, we're all going to stand before God, and whatever things that we've done, God already knows the things that we have done. But, you know, I understand that there are a lot of things that are tied into it, but mm-hmm. we don't force anything on anybody, because Christ did not force anything on us. He gave us the opportunity to choose.
Hallelujah. Now that we're closing out of that particular segment, I want to thank everybody for their voices and their opinions. That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody for their opinions and their voices, and the information is being shared on this show right now. We're here to give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We're not here to, you know, this is not a political show. This is a civil rights
no.
talk show. Believe mm-hmm. it or not, the fight for the right to go to church. It was a time when black people could not go and decently sit in church and have a good time and praise God. And not only that, we're talking about a civil rights issue when a woman cannot make a choice with her own body. That's a civil rights violation of her right to make her choice. But like Evangelist Virginia Valentine said, we need wisdom, common sense, and add balance to it. Amen. Then she said, yes, Lord, this is God's word. And so the words that you heard coming from Kenneth Curry, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, that is the word of God. Now, we're talking about these things because these things are very important, and it has a lot to do with your future. If you want your young people to do the right thing, put them in the right places so they can get the right information about God and get to know God and put God in perspective with their lives. You know, the game is not more important than God. The reason why a lot of our young people are dying so young and failing so young is because you got to see God's face. You got to get to know God. And when you do that, you're on the right path to success and to proper growth in this world. Now, without further ado, it is time to go into the other segment of the show, and we're going to start off with words of wisdom, which will be nice, short, and sweet. So without further ado, Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us a thank you for the hearts. God bless you all. I love the hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you for the hearts on Facebook Live. Without further ado, Talana Jones, take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
All right. Thanks, Dad. Today's words of wisdom is just about being grateful. And it is a short read, so I do pray you enjoy. And I'm going to start by saying this. I love this affirmation, so it will just be very quick. Remember to be grateful for your blessings because you deserve them. Follow the voice of your heart, and what you love will love you. Finding peace, mindfulness, conscious purpose, and being grateful for what you have in life keeps your fears conquered. To remember that when we go through situations, if you are not willing to learn, that no one can help you. If you are willing and determined to learn, no one can stop you. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day. Happy Monday.
God bless you.
Words of wisdom. We're going to keep the ball rolling right now. We're going to go to Vera Jones. We're going to go to Vera Jones with health and wellness, and following that will be the sports report. Following that will be the regulator with regulation manual, and then the commentary. Without further ado, Vera Jones, take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie. So today I wanted to speak about spending time in nature. Spending time in nature, you know what comes to me? The song by The Temptations, I've Got Sunshine. So you can dance to that or listen to that today. So what does it do for us? It increases our endorphin levels, like the melatonin, which is the sun hormone. It helps us get rid of anxiety, depression, and we become more youthful whenever we're outside in the sun and in nature. It makes our life a lot more colorful. And then we have to love on the gifts from God, because the sun, the rays of the sun, the rain, and spending time in nature, whether it's the snow, guess what? It's good for us. But I really enjoy that sun. We need that vitamin D. It's the ultraviolet radiation that we all need. And it also helps reduce our blood pressure and improve our sleep, because the sun will rejuvenate us. Now, how can we spend time in nature? We can go outside. We can ride our bicycles, go hiking, go for a walk. You can hug a tree, pick some flowers, share some vegetables or fruit or herbs. Take your pet for a walk. Or you can even practice earthing, which is just taking off your shoes and walking barefoot in the grass, whether it's the cement or the sand at the beach. We can exercise in nature because it nourishes our body, and it will help unclog some of those bad arteries. And dance. Dance outside in nature. Spend some time listening to earth. When I say listening to earth, I mean listen to the birds, and then watch nature by watching the butterflies, the bees, and the ants. And so I hope we can all spend some time in nature. And Eddie just asked me, and I just mentioned something about ashwagandha, and that's spelled A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A. Now, ashwagandha is one that can help lower our blood pressure and lower our sugar fat, the blood in our sugar. I said the blood in our sugar, the sugar in our blood. And it also helps our immune system. It will help us by releasing stress, depression, and anxiety. This is a good herb for men because it will boost your testosterone level. And for the women, it will help with fertility. And it will help balance a woman's hormones by stimulating her reproductive organs. Now, if you have hot flashes, ashwagandha would be one. But if you should be one that has high blood pressure or you're pregnant or breastfeeding, I do not recommend taking. So that is my segment for today. Thank you, Eddie.
All right, let's give a big hand for health and wellness. Health and wellness.
Anybody?
Yes, Virginia. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
We're missing
Professor Reams today. We want to send a shout out to all of our radio family here. You know, Providence Monica and everybody who's ever been on our show or ever been on the panel for our show. Without further ado, before Chief Apostle is going to have to go, we're going to do the sports report. But before he goes, Chief Apostle, give us your closing remarks or anything you want to share. Chief Apostle, are you there? Okay, maybe we might have lost him already. We'll see. Okay, Chief Apostle, we might have lost him already. Okay, he had to go. He had some meetings to do, but that's okay. We want to thank Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry for coming on, spending some time talking about a very sensitive subject matter and a very sensitive topic. We are losing a lot of, thank you very much, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. We're losing people every day out of the church, and then a woman should have a right to make a choice, okay, especially when it comes to her body, all right? The things that you're hearing on the show, and this is just a disclaimer, we're not trying to hurt anybody with anything, but we're trying to educate everybody with everything that needs to be sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. Okay, amen. Praise God. Without further ado, it's time for Cousin V to take the floor. Okay, let's see. Wait, hold on. I just saw a call come in. Okay. All right. Let's see. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Let's see. All right, there we go. And we got a lot of callers calling in. Okay, without further ado, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us the sports report. All right. All the way from
Well,
Texas.
Good morning. Once again, evening here in Texas, though. My first thing is on the NFL, and I'm still thinking about racism in the NFL. Because, as we know, Brian Flores with the Miami Dolphins has a suit against the NFL for racism. Well, I'm also thinking about the black quarterback. Jennifer, I'm also thinking about the black quarterbacks, how they're always put under a microscope for all kind of alleged things by women and things in sports and their behavior. And I know that black quarterbacks are not the only one, not even just black players, but we don't even see that, you know, with white quarterbacks or football players. Nothing ever comes across the NFL. And if they do, they come and they get a slap on the hand, and we never, ever hear about it again. So that is one of my things about the NFL. I still think it's a lot of racism. I'm not saying that he didn't do these things. And, like, everything will come to fruition. And if it is known, it will happen. But it's just, my take is just that it's so much racism in the NFL, but we always only see blacks that are being put up under the microscope. And we constantly hear about the whole football season. We can't even go through the football season without them even mentioning it. And then so in the PGA, this week they had the Travelers Championship, June 23rd through the 26th, played in Cromwell, Connecticut. The TPC River Highlands, the purse was $8,300,000. Xander Schauffele, all five winners were American. Xander Schauffele, first place. Second place was tie, which is also called third place, with Sahith Theegala. He was second. And then third was JT, which his name is James Tyree. And then number four was Michael Thorbjørnsen. And then fifth was Chesson Hadley. And Chesson's birthday is next week on July the 5th. And Sahith's birthday was this month on June 1st. So happy birthday to those guys. And these are all new faces and new names except for Xander Schauffele. And then we had the NBA draft. What a draft it was. And I'm going to start with the first 10 this week only. And so the first pick was Paolo Banchero. He's a forward for Duke, going to Orlando Magic. Ted Holmgren, a center for Gonzaga, going to the OKC Thunder. Jabari Smith, a forward from Auburn, going to the Houston Rockets. Keegan Murray, a forward from Iowa, going to the Sacramento Kings. Jaden Ivey, a guard from Purdue, going to the Detroit Pistons. Benedict Mathurin, a forward from Arizona, going to the Indiana Pacers. Shaedon Sharpe, a guard from Kentucky, going to the Portland Trail Blazers. Dyson Daniels, a guard from G League Ignite, going to the New Orleans Pelicans. And a forward, Jeremy Sohan from Baylor. He's going to the San Antonio Spurs. And our number 10 is Johnny Davis, a guard from Wisconsin, and he's going to the Washington Wizards. And then I just have a few of the scores from the Major League Baseball. The Marlins beat the Mets 3-2. And then we have the Astros and the Yankees. The Astros lost to the Yankees 6-3. The Oakland A's beat the Royals 5-3. And then, because I also know the Dodgers, that was a big game between the Dodgers and the Braves. They were talking about how they had to go all the way to the 11th inning, but they went 12 innings, and the Dodgers beat the Braves 5-3. The Diamondbacks beat the Tigers 11-7. And then the Rangers, Texas Rangers, lost to the Washington Nationals 6-4. So this is my sports report, and y'all have a blessed week. But I just want to ask Clarence, when he reads from the 100 Soul Brother Regulate the Manual, can you tell us what page, since we have the book, so that we can keep up with you on that? This is my sports report, and have a blessed week.
Thank you, Cousin V.
Cousin V.
My own Cousin V. Cousin V.
Hey,
you knocked it out the park with this sports report.
I have a question for Cousin V, Pat.
Go Dodgers, go Dodgers, go Dodgers. Go right here.
With those Dodgers, I'm a Texan, but I love those L.A. Dodgers. I remember when I graduated from high school in 1978, came to California, the Dodgers was in the playoffs, and they won the world championship in 1978, and we was all right there glued to the TV. So the Dodgers is America's team, like everybody say the Cowboys is America's team.
Amen,
and Cousin V, did you see the fight with the Angels and the Mariners yesterday?
No, I don't. I really don't look at the sports. I go back and just pick them up most on Sunday, except for football. Now, you know we glued to the TV when it's football season, but when it comes to other sports, we just kind of like pick it up and go, but or either basketball. But no, I didn't watch any of those games.
In the essence of time, we have two more things that we need to do. One is Regulate the Manual with Clarence M. Allen, and Professor Reams is out. So Clarence will be stepping into Professor Reams' shoes today, and those shoes are pretty big. So we better make sure we leave enough time for him to get in them shoes and tie them all the way up to the ankles. But with that being said, yeah, don't trip. But I want to thank Evangelist Virginia Valentine. Her statement on Facebook Live is, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve, and we have a choice. Amen. We have a choice. Just wanted to share that. Thank you so much, Evangelist Valentine. Thank everybody on Facebook Live. We're not finished yet. The best is yet to come. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. I don't know if you're going to do the Haunted Soul, brother, or Regulate the Manual. Give us one of them. Take the floor.
Yes, we are in Regulate the Manual. Thank you again, Pastor Eddie. Thank all of our special guests, our followers. Thank you to all the past panelists. But especially thank you to God Almighty, whose life give us the courage, the will to move about each and every day. I'm inside the gangsters, Cousin V, and to all of our listeners. You know, when you look at the book of Regulate the Manual, you have the gang members, the gang banger, the gangster. Here's another alert. Who ride? And in case you don't fit in none of those, we have gays, racists, and even the status quo. Because in order for us to regulate, everybody needs to regulate themselves all day long, each and every day of their life. Otherwise, we may become out of control. So I'm on page 150 inside of the gangsters. And I believe that there will always be some good old-fashioned gangstering that goes on. There are many gangsters who like to conduct their business in the old-fashioned way. Just in case you can develop an acute case of amnesia and forget to pay your costs, beware. There will always be a gangster standing there to collect your toss. There are many of these old-fashioned ways of doing business within the normal operations within the districts of the gangsters. The old-fashioned way of doing business are the legal fronts for many of the other businesses that are not so legal. At all times, the flashing lights are kept on in the big cities during the full times when the customers are spending in their happiest hours. The full times are the time when the gangsters are ready for just about anything and everything while meeting whatever demands that the customer needs. There are those who might say that they are living the good life. The places of the business can be a bookie joint, a gambling shack, a sparkling nightclub, the main casino, even a small trick spot that could be also a small joint just off the strip. These things can occur in a way where everything that happens stay where it happens. The action is all good when you are in the gangster's neck of the woods. Now take a look back with me at the days when I was a young baby Crip. I do recall some of the things from back in the day. Back in the day, baby Crips used to have kicking spots that was under the ground. Oh, yeah, you better believe it. We had some pretty good times in the neighborhood. As youngsters, teenagers, we used to dig tunnels under the caves, underground caves, and these were some cool spots to hang out in. Once you were in the tunnel, you could not be found. Who knows? There just might be a tunnel still in your neighborhood today. There may be some underground tunnels or caves in a neighborhood near you. So stay on the lookout and always be listening up. That way you might learn a thing or two. Those were some of the days that I will miss, and those were some of the friends that I will always miss too. People call those kind of days the good old days. Back in those days, it was just us little folks hanging out underground in the tunnels, and we also had the tunnels furnished. There was an AM/FM radio with the alkaline battery. A hinged door was a must. Crate boxes for the seats with the small made-up mattress for your comfort. A made-up table, flashlights, candles. As teenage boys in those days, we lived a good life, and we had plenty of fun doing all of it in the beginning. I'm going to stop there because when I was a youngster, we did some things, and you got to go to regulatethemanual.com and get this book or contact me. And get over there to page 150 and go into page 151 and read about what we used to do as young gangsters in our neighborhood. So I'd like to thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all our listeners. I hope you got just a little bit of that from Regulation Manual, because you are in here.
Amen, amen. Let's give a big hand for Clarence and Allen this morning. We regulate the manual. Let's give them a big hand, guys. All right. Now.
Later.
Now. Now. Professor Reams is in a professional meeting with other professors and could not be with us on the show today. So normally when he's not here to do the commentary, we always have Clarence to put on his Professor Reams shoes and walk right out on the stage. And so without further ado, Clarence and Mellon, give us the commentary. Take the floor.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie, for, you know, man, I stuck both feet into one of his shoes and it sucked up both legs. I cannot feel Professor Reem's shoes, but I will do my best to walk through this commentary. And then after I do the commentary, we're going to allow Jedi to give us the word of the week and the scripture of the week. And, you know, every Monday, Pastor Eddie comes with the hot button topic that concerns our life, concerns our community, our state, our nation, and even these topics cover events around the world. And we talked about our youth, the ages between 14 and 35, dropping out of churches. Why aren't the parents making any requirement to serve God? And we heard from the great chief apostle, Kenneth Curry. I mean, he was the perfect guest to have on with such a, and you know, he went through many important reasons why kids are not in church. You know, I can't do what he do. He goes right to the scripture from his mind. He has the Bible written in it, the heart of his spirit. It's in his mind. And he came with several scriptures. You know, let's see. He talked about the book of Ephesians. He went into the book of Ephesians. Let me get over there. And because I wanted to reread it, if I could find it. And, no, it was 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read it because it was just so important. He say, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankfully, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of ungodliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women with sin, led away with divers love, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Chief Apostle Curry broke it down. He broke it down. He mentioned 2 Timothy, that was chapter 3, 1 through 7. He talked about Ezekiel 3:21, Jeremiah 21:8. He talked about the grace period, the tribulation period after the grace period, church being like paying a bill instead of the church giving the congregation the gifts of God. And you know, I was admiring and absorbing the input from Pastor Eddie at the beginning when he mentioned when parents took their kids to church, you know, and gave everybody something to put in the offering. You know, these were the days when we were spiritually led by the Holy Spirit to go and learn about God, how he want us to live, how to be civilized with one another and love one another as God loved us. And as we talked about the events, how the evolution, how it's like the love of God through the environment changes in our communities and lifestyles has slowly dwindled out of the house home. You know, I talked about, mentioned how people, you may hear people say, oh, my God, but they may never open the Bible or even go to church or even pray. Well, then I said, well, who is your God? Because there are many gods. God Almighty is not the only God. The Bible talks about many different gods besides our God, the living God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we went around our panel, you know, and Talana was talking about there's no mentorship, no love and respect for the decision and of going to church. You know, the parents are the head of the home. And so when we look at why kids don't go to church, why people have strayed away from God, we talked about the missionary work has ceased. Cousin V talked about, she mentioned, let me get over here, how they cut out children's programs in the church. You know, it used to, children used to be put up front, able to come up and speak in the church. Children Bible study, all these other programs, and even Granny V said kids had to go to church back in the day, and it was such an important subject title, Pastor Eddie, panelists, and all of our listeners. We have to get back to God. We as parents have to take control of our home. We have to guide our kids in the direction, in the way which they should go. And God should be the head and the forefront of that leadership. And then we went into our second topic. The Supreme Court made a decision changing the 14th U.S. Amendment of the Constitution, taking away the federal law, taking away the right of a woman to have an abortion. But there are some sanctuary states where women can go, California, New York, and there are several others. But there are states with trigger laws and abortion laws where you can go to jail, the doctor and the patient, for having an abortion. And then, you know, we went into our own special segment. Talana Jones gave us a beautiful reading, you know, about being grateful and remembering to be grateful and to find peace in your life while you're doing so. Vera Jones, she spoke of the healing of the sun, enjoying nature, the benefits of nature, and the ashwagandha. If I'm saying that right, the benefits of that natural plant, a high, lower blood pressure and sugar. And Cousin V brought us back to our lovely physical abilities of life with the sports report. And, you know, she talked about the NBA draft. She talked about the NFL racism, and I like to say something about that. If you want to learn something about racism in the NFL, you want to learn the ins and outs. I was speaking with Pastor Eddie earlier in the week, last week, about this. It's about the book of Ira Tillman, The Kid Can Coach. Get that book. You, if you're just a fan of the game, if you know a young person, get that book for them. Me and Pastor Eddie, I told him how I was on the floor when I read about Hugh Jackson and the old Raider coach that they just fired, John Gruden. They were assistant coaches on the same team, and the racism between them, the disagreements, the hate, got so thick that Hugh Jackson took masking tape and went down the center of the office they shared. He said, "You stay on that side and I stay on this side." When I read that in his book, I even told Ira Tillman, I was on the floor laughing. So, you know, thank you, Cousin B, for exposing the discrimination, the lack of opportunity in our professional sports, how we are prosecuted when we stand up for a civil right, our constitutional right, our human right, and all the rights that the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, the CEO, Pastor Eddie Justice Jones Jr., I see him standing on top of a mountain with his cape flowing in the wind. Pastor Eddie Justice Jones, and to all our listeners, that's my commentary. That's my closing statement. Tune in next Monday. Thank you all.
Give a big hand for Clarence M. Allen.
Outstanding.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Great conversation.
Oh, my God, man. Hey, Clarence, I can't wait to tell Professor Reeves. I can't wait to tell Professor Reeves how you got in one of his shoes. You only got into one of his shoes.
He
tied it up real tight. I want to send a shout-out to Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson sending a shout-out. Evangelist Virginia Valentine shouting you out. Gloria Majors, everybody on Facebook Live, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, what a show we had. Also to Candace Bowen, thank you so much, Candace. And thank you so much, Wanda. Thank you so much, everybody who came on. Sylvester, everybody who came on Facebook Live, God bless you all. Hope you have a wonderful day. Remember this. The only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. But before we go, let me give you the word of the week. And the word of the week is, the word of the week is rights. Women have rights. That's the word of the week, rights. Our scripture of the week is Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1. Write it down. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1. And it reads, while dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. While dining with a king, make sure that you watch what is put before you eat that food. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. Because we all have rights. We'll see you here next Monday. God bless you. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And I love you all. God bless. Peace.
Amen.
Amen. So here's the real question. The real question is, what's going on? Love y'all. Peace. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
Hey,
how you doing?
There's too many of you, brother, there's far too many of you died. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love here today. Don't punish me with brutality.